I'd like to call up our first timer to share, Bill B. from Colorado. Bill.
My name is Bill. I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is January 30th, 1964. Now, I got 4.5 minutes to tell you what it was like, what happened, and what I'm like now. Damn good thing I was a blackout drinker, because I can shorten this. The first real drinking I got done was probably my senior year in high school, and I took an immediate like to it. It made me feel like I was a human being. I could talk to people. I could dance with the girls. I could do a lot of things. I found out after I sobered up I couldn't dance, but anyhow, that's... So it was really enjoyable, and I'll be perfectly honest with you. For several years, I had a good time drinking. Then it kind of turned on me. I'll tell my airplane. My nickname is Airplane Bill, because I worked for an airline as a mechanic. But I'll tell you my airplane story. I was out drinking one night, going to go flying with a buddy. Next morning, well, needless to say, I had too much. So he pounded on the window, woke me up at 6 in the morning, and I said, Bob, why don't you drive out to the airport? I'm a little tired yet. I was so damn hungover, I couldn't see straight, you know. So I took off the airplane. I tried to check the weather, but I didn't get an answer, so I just took off. I said, why don't you fly for a while? He had a couple hours, so he flew it for a couple hours of dual. So he flew the airplane. I said, wake me up in about 2.5 hours, because then we'd be running out of gas. Well, he woke me up over a solid layer of clouds. Now, I know you can't get instantly sober, but I come pretty close, I'll tell you that much. Scared the hell out of me. To make it short, I circled down, found a hole in the clouds. On the way down, happened to fly through a 66,000-volt high-tension wire. Both of us walked away from it. The cops said, somebody said they smell alcohol. I said, well, I can't understand that, but... Said, well, if you take a test, we won't put it on report. Well, I blew in, and I come back negative. That was probably either the highlight or the low light of my drinking. I'm not sure which. But anyhow, it took me about 5 or 6 years to realize I was powerless over alcohol. My life was unmanageable. When I drank, I had absolutely no control over what was going to happen. Sometimes nothing happened. Sometimes I ended up in jail. I start going to meetings on a regular basis in Barrington, Illinois. Yeah. Moved up to Milwaukee, stayed sober, and then moved out to Denver. I know there's a lot of young or new people here, young people. I only hope they find in this program what I found. You know, I'm surprised myself. I thought I was going to get up here and start bawling like a baby, and so far I've made it, so. But I just found a way of life that life is livable. I sponsor some people. Mostly I call them friends. I don't call them sponsees. I go to a lot of meetings. I stay sober one day at a time, and I haven't died, so. Maybe I'll die before I walk off the stage here, but so far I've made it. Just one quick word about my Old Farts group. That's my home group, the Old Farts in Lakewood, Colorado. Now, a lot of groups brag about how many people they got, how old their members are. We had a 5-day-old baby at 2 consecutive meetings. Well, it's 5 days and 12 days. Now, I think that's a record for young kids. His mother was an Al-Anon, and his dad was in the program and brought him to our meeting. You're all invited to the meeting, but please don't all come at once. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. And now let's hear from Pat H. from Kaiser, Oregon. Pat.
Hi, I'm Pat, and I'm an alcoholic. I am so overwhelmed right now, I can hardly stand myself. My recovery date is April 26, 1970. Who would have thought 40 years ago that this miserable human being that didn't like anybody and didn't think I was lovable would have all these friends? All of you. Just a little bit about what it was like. I was 15, had my first drink, first drunk, first blackout, same night. Never had a social drink, ever. You know, it's been quite a ride that I'm so grateful. I drank for 13 years. Like I said, I couldn't stand myself. I was suicidal and stumbled into Alcoholics Anonymous. It was the most wonderful thing that ever happened to me. I felt like I had come home, that these are my kind of people. And still are. Everything that I have today of value, I owe to folks like you and this program. I have a way of life that I had never known. I have a husband. We've been together 28 years. I never liked anybody 10 minutes after I married him. I think maybe this one's going to take. My children have had an opportunity to have a good life because of this program. I have friends. I have friends that I've had for many years. I didn't know you could do that. My sponsor's here tonight. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful to everybody who came before me and everybody that's come after me. I've learned so much from all of you. And I thank you so much, my friends. Bless you.
Thank you, Pat. Now help me welcome Davis P. from Midland, Texas, 42 years.
I'm Davis, and I'm an alcoholic. It's strictly by the grace of God that my dry date is November the 7th of 67. And for that, I'm as grateful as I know how to be. I stand before you, and I had no idea 42 and a half years ago that I'd be standing in front of an AA international convention telling my story. Because I've been one of the slowest learners in this program that ever came down the pike. So if you're new here today, take a deep seat and a sharp rein and hang on. Because you're really in for a great ride. You know, y'all gave me a way to live that I had absolutely no idea that existed. This program has given me a little bit of order out of total chaos, and I was in total chaos. But I had no idea that it was attributed to alcoholism. You know, my mother had taught me all I ought to know about alcoholism when I was a kid because she had four alcoholic brothers. And she had prayed those suckers by us on a daily basis. And she would say, look at that, you know. And I never wanted to be like that. You know, you could smell them coming. The air was thick around them. And, you know, you could... And they had that steady, studied gait about them, you know, where they looked like they were afraid they were going to fall down on every step that they took. But one day, shortly after my 40th birthday, you know, things were getting really bad in our place. And by the way, my wife is an alcoholic, and she passed away 5 years ago. But we had a great life together. I couldn't imagine anybody to live with for 51 years, since that's what we were married. And I miss her with all my heart and soul. But I know she's up there looking down at me thinking, my God, what those people have done to pick somebody like you to speak at an international convention. I don't have but 5 minutes, and I want to get it all unloaded, folks. You know, I couldn't take the first step in this program until I took the fourth step. And, you know, I couldn't take the second step because I was a running, screaming agnostic when I got here. And there was an old boy that stood behind our podium, and he'd point his finger at me, and he'd say, you have to find God, you know. And his voice would quiver, and his chin would quiver, and his throat would quiver, and I'd quiver and almost jump up and run out of there, you know. I thought if there was a God, it had to be me. And so you can see what I was starting out with. And you know, I had no idea what hit me, but we were sent to this little doctor in El Paso because my wife couldn't get up. And he was supposed to be a hotshot neurologist, but it turned out he was a neurosurgeon, and his specialty was alcoholism. And neuropsychiatrist, I should have said, and his specialty was alcoholism. And when we unloaded it to his door, you know, after driving from Midland about 300 miles, and it was in the winter time, and of course I'm sure the stink was something terrible when he opened the door, and he met us at the curbside. I thought, my gosh, you know, this is really something to be met by the head doctor. And the first words out of his mouth was that, you know, acute alcoholism will manifest itself in one of three ways. either your internal organs will go, or your nervous system will go, or your mind will go. And he said, when he said your mind will go, he was looking right straight through me, because, you know, he could look at my eyes and see that there was nobody home. And you know, I didn't find out until I kind of got my brains out of hock, and that there was a few little... There were a few little scientific people in the room of the Alcoholics Anonymous, and they advised me that alcohol was the biggest depressant that there was. I've been signaled that my time is up. But if you're not getting it yet, keep working at it, and the big deal is don't leave before the miracle happens. Thanks for letting me share.
And next, we'll hear from Earl B. from Dalton Gardens, Idaho, with 40 years. Earl.
Hi, I'm Earl. I'm just an old retired drunk. And I always think very... 4th of July weekend always brings back great memories to me, because that was when I went on my last good runner. And about 10 days later, after losing a job and a girlfriend and a few other things, I called a friend of mine I knew that was in the program, and he took me to my first meeting. And that was on July 15th, 1969, and I haven't had to take a drink since. And that guy that took me to my first meeting, he became my sponsor. And he was a little short German guy from North Dakota. And Roger spoke in single syllable words and short sentences, right to the heart of the thing right away. And he told me a couple of things as we went along. And this being here this weekend has made me think a lot about what went on then, what goes on now, and how they haven't changed. That they're all the same. What he told me then is just as pertinent as now. First thing he told me was, anybody can go one day without taking a drink. Even a damn fool like you, Earl. You know? And then he told me, I'm going to look at my cheat notes here, because you know what they say, the first thing that goes is your mind, and then... Never mind. Then he told me to look for the similarities, not the differences in the stories. Because if you look for the differences, you're looking for a way out. If you see the similarities, you'll find your way in. And he told me another thing. When you get in this program and you do the steps, you take the first step 100%. No qualifications, no reservations, no anything. And the next 11 will be a works in progress for the rest of your life. And then he told me, resentments are a luxury damn few people can afford. And that we have a program that teaches you how to deal with them when you have them, and how to prevent them before you have them. And that was some of the best advice he ever gave me. And I asked him one night, he used to give me a ride home from the meeting, because I, you know, obviously didn't have a car, because I didn't have a driver's license, and the state of Washington had relieved me of all of that stuff. And I asked him about about the spirituality part of the thing. And I said, I don't think I'm getting this. I haven't had any big balls of light or lightning flashes. And he says, don't worry about it. You just keep coming, and you listen, and you pay attention, and you will, it'll come. And I thank God he did that, because it took me a while, but I got there. And that was long before I knew there was such a thing as Appendix 2 in the Big Book. But if any of you people are having trouble with that, read that. That takes care of it. And then one night, another night, one of the best lessons I ever learned about this program early on, we had a public speaker meeting, public information meeting on Friday nights there in Seattle, in Old Odd Fellows Hall. And we were up there at that meeting, and he introduced me to a fellow who was one of the first dozen or so AAs in Seattle. A little short Italian, and he was a bartender at a private club in Seattle. And I met Fred, and I said, hi, it's my pleasure. And I said, gee, Fred, how long you been sober? And he kind of looks me up and down. He says, what time did you get up this morning, kid? And you know, it took me a couple of days to figure out what he was telling me. But what it was by the grace of God, we have today. That's all we have. Not yesterday, not tomorrow, but just today. So thank you.
Thank you, Earl. And now help me welcome Alice C. from Mission Viejo, California, 43 and a half years. Alice.
My name is Alice C. I'm from Mission Viejo, California, and I am definitely an alcoholic. My sobriety date is November 8, 1966. I came here to AA as a guest of my husband, who was the alcoholic. And I stayed when I heard stories. And I think the most important part of my early sobriety was going to meetings in Cleveland, Ohio. And walking into a room with half the room over 25 years sober in 1966. I've been looking for people from Cleveland, Ohio from those years, and a lot of them are not here with us anymore. I came this week with a group of people from Do It Sober. I hear you, Mary. And I also have friends joining me from Hawaii. I have another friend from West Hollywood, my friend Sherry, another girl that I sponsored, and I met her. You know where you meet people that you stay with? You meet them in service. I met Sherry because I had to speak at her meeting. I met Lizette because she was new in the program, and she was working on the Direct Decorations Committee for Orange County. I was 30 years sober then, and I had a cast on my arm, I think. I weighed over 200 pounds, and she was my Eskimo. She helped me. She was the new person that helped me because she believed in the traditions, and she asked me to be her sponsor and gave me that honor. The gentleman who drove us today and the guys that drove us, we drove here from Mission Viejo via El Paso, Texas. Joe and Ed and Bill and Jim, we were in the car in a van together. We believe in doing everything sober. I came to AA and I knew I was an alcoholic the first time I opened the Big Book to Chapter 3. It said, when you admit to your innermost self that you are an alcoholic, that's the first step in recovery. And I knew that, but I didn't know how to convince you I was alcoholic. Most of the people at that time, me being only 20 years old, had done more things than I had. Most of my drinking was blackout. I drank whiskey with my husband because he wanted me to drink, and I waited till we got married to do that. And I don't remember anything, and it scared me. The next time I fell out of a canoe pregnant with my first daughter, they didn't have the fetal alcohol syndrome knowledge then. But you know what? She's 43 years old, and she's planning on drinking a lot more. But I don't have any big words of wisdom, except for no matter what, you don't drink. We buried one of our sons 3 years ago from suicide, drinking and drugs together. My other son is 32. He's got 2 years sober. I found out when I was trying to figure out how to tell you I was alcoholic at 11 years sober, and I wanted a drunk so bad, but I didn't know how to tell you. In chapter 1 of the 12 and 12, it says, in later years, they came merely potential alcoholics that were saved the last 10 and 15 years that we had to go through of problems. And that was where I was, and I was able to stay here. I went through a divorce pregnant that year in 1977, and within 6 months of me letting go and letting God, I was divorced, had my baby, met my husband, and got married. That's 6 months. 6 months later, I moved to California, and my life has been full with good things and bad things. But all through this, Alcoholics Anonymous has been number one. When I couldn't walk, one of my newcomers said, have a meeting in your house. So if you're ever in Mission Viejo on Thursday morning at 9:30, please come and have breakfast with the 12 and 12 meeting there. Thank you. It's a women's meeting. Bye.
Thank you, Alice. Now let's hear from Leland C. from Missouri, 53 years. Leland. Let's welcome Lee. Leland.
There went my anonymity. Everyone that knows me calls me Lee. And my name is Leland. And I am an alcoholic. Tonight, but I'm standing here in front of you as a miracle of sobriety thanks to the fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous. I was a full-fledged drunk coming out of the service, and I went to work for a little company in St. Louis called Anheuser-Busch. Friends of mine from the brewery and I knew how to drink. And that was a wonderful thing because we could drink on the job. And many of you have heard about us old brewery workers, and you know that that's exactly what we did. However, you were supposed to do some work. And, of course, it's a short period of time. I was on the carpet, and I was told that if I didn't straighten up, that I would be going down the river with the rest of them. And, of course, that's exactly what I've had to do. I looked in the Yellow Pages and I found a little ad that says Alcoholics Anonymous. And I called that number. We had an office down at Bowman's Bank Building in St. Louis. And those fellows told me, Lee, you have a job yet. We have meetings in your vicinity, and you'll be welcome to come. I'll send someone out to talk to you. And that was the first 12-step call that I was involved in, and I was a recipient of that call. They told me to come to the meeting on Friday night in Baden in St. Louis. And, of course, I made my first meeting. And that was a wonderful evolution for me because being a drunk, I had no answer. I used to promise myself today I would not drink. But I could not keep that promise. I would get down to the brewery, and the beer came in at 9 o'clock, and I was the first one in line to get my vial and taste that little beer. And I knew that if I could get just part of it to stay down, my legs would get strong, my mind would clear up, and I could think and do my job right. And, of course, you know what happens to us drunk. We get the first drink, that's the one that gets us drunk. And by 5 o'clock, I was going down Broadway, and just like this, you know, and all my sails up. And I had an automatic automobile, and it automatically stopped at Falstaff, Breezy Dick, any of those beautiful signs to have one more beer. But thank goodness that when I made that call to Alcoholics Anonymous, they told me turned my life around, and I became the miracle that I am this evening, and able to talk to just a few of you, and many of you I have sat in meetings with, and I tell you, you're the ones that have kept me sober. And I am sober today, 53 years of sobriety. Thanks to the fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I thank you for letting me talk to you this evening. Thank you.
Thank you, Lee. And next, let's hear from Jerry M. from Florida, 40 plus years. Jerry.
Thank you. My name is Jerry M., and I belong to One Day at a Time group in Boynton Beach, Florida. My sobriety date is March 19th, 1970. I have 40 years. When I first came in, I was so mocus that they asked me what was the last day I drank, and I really didn't know, but I knew it was March, and I said it had to be after St. Patty's Day, so I took March 19th. I'm up here because somebody told me that if I put my name in the old-timers meeting, that I would get a T-shirt. I never dreamed out of 500 some old timers that my name would be called, but I think my higher power had it meant for me to be called, because This is the first time that I've been back to San Antonio. I was in San Antonio in 1946 at the age of 16 in the Army Air Force. I was so anxious to come back to see San Antonio to show my significant other all my memories of San Antonio. When I came back, I didn't recognize a thing. And it dawned on me that the reason I didn't recognize a thing was because of the use and abuse of alcohol. I used to get into a lot of trouble, and I spent a lot of time in the stockade, so no wonder I didn't recognize it. But I did. I'm not wearing sunglasses because I want to look like a Hollywood actor. I'm wearing them because the eyes. And I asked Larry, not my friend. I first met him. He is my friend, to lend me his glasses. So I have a minute and 54 seconds left, so I'll try to speed it up. My progression of the disease of alcohol. I hit my bottom on the Bowery. I came to in the morning in some bathroom, and it was the first time that I asked God for help. Many times when I got into problems, I asked God to help me, please help me get out of this, and I'll never drink. And sure enough, when I got out of the trouble, I would drink. This time I looked in the mirror and I said, dear God, please help me, please help me. No deal, no promise, just help me. And the answer came in with a woman doctor. When a woman doctor told me I wasn't crazy, that my problem was alcohol. I should have known it long. But anyway, I came into the program, and like I said, and when I first came in, I heard this higher power, and I wanted to know who this big Indian chief, Higher Cow, was. They told me in the group, I got sober in the Cops and Robbers. It's Sobriety Unlimited in New York. It's called the Cops and Robbers. 40% were cops, 40% were robbers, and 20% were oddballs like me that wandered in. So off the streets of New York I came, and I was going to get a friend to be my sponsor. And they said that you have to ask somebody from the group, and you have to ask because you're an egomaniac, and we've got to deflate the ego. I'm off. I got a lot of stories, but thank you for... I'm very grateful to be here. Thank you, Larry. Thank you all.
Thank you, Jerry. Now help me welcome Jan DL, Georgetown, Texas, 41 years.
My name is Jan, and I am an alcoholic. I love this program with all my heart, and I have to remind myself every day that I suffer the disease of alcoholism, cunning, baffling, and powerful, and it will kill you. My life can be put into three chapters. Chapter one, from the time I was born until age 13, when I took my first drink. I was born in Copenhagen, Denmark. I love the flags up there. And my handicap was things that happened during the Second World War. I'm also only child, so I'm a spoiled brat. And then I'm a perfectionist. I don't know how I can even stay sober. At age 13, I moved with my parents to Caracas, Venezuela. And my drinking started. I found out quickly that if I was very shy, but if I took some drinks, I could ask the girl to dance. One of my friends said, Jan, you need to get married. This is after I got this scholarship, Gulf Oil Scholarship, to go to Texas A&M in College Station. And I almost didn't make it because I spent all my time drinking beer down in Bryan. College Station was dry in the 50s. Coming back to Venezuela, I was king with a college. As a college graduate, I could make a lot of money, and so I could drink a lot. And my drink was rum, Cuba Libre. I got into AA after 21 years of drinking. And my date is the 7th of September, 1968. I arrived at the Salesianos Group Catholic Church. It was the only AA group in Caracas, Venezuela, with over 2 million people at that time. I had a great opportunity to serve in AA, and that's what kept me sober. Chapter 7 of the big book, Working with Others. I'm almost out of words to tell you how wonderful the trip in AA has been. You see, it's a journey of, it's a spiritual journey through the 12 steps. And that's the one I'm taking. But remember, I'm a perfectionist. And I told my second wife, you must click the toothpaste to shut it. I don't do that anymore. She's using Crest. But when I don't quite behave, she will say, Jan, and we've been married for 37 years, she'd say, Jan, I think you really need to go to an AA meeting. And so trying to be obedient. Obedience is freedom. I go to the meeting. We have the grace of God with us here tonight. And my prayer is that this grace will be with all of you as you return to 90 countries throughout the world tomorrow. May you return in safety and in this spiritual journey of AA. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jan. Now help me welcome Leroy T.
from Texas, 44 years. Lebron.
Thank y'all very much. I'm Leroy Terrio. I know I break my own anonymity, but that's my business. But I have a job to do here tonight. I carry meetings into the TDC Hightower unit over at Dayton, Texas. One of the inmates made this book cover for me. I've furnished the materials and stuff. And he is corresponding with Jake R. from Murphy, North Carolina. And he said Jake was supposed to be at this conference and asked me if I would show Jake this book cover. So Jake, if you're here, find me after this is over with so I can let you see this book. And that's how I stay sober. Don't y'all use up all my time clapping. There'll be time enough for that after it's all over with. I'm here with my wife of 65 years. Two couples from the area that I come from, Crosby and Dayton. They are taking very, very good care of me. I'm 84 years old now. My legs don't work as good as they used to, and they're managing to get me around very well. I have thoroughly enjoyed this conference. I have not made but one AA meeting last night and this one. The rest of the time I've spent out there in the hallway stopping people and talking to them. I tell you this because when I got to Alcoholics Anonymous, I was scared of everybody. I was not a mean drunk. My wife and I raised 11 children. My last one was born about the year that I sobered up. That tells you a lot about the kind of a drunk I was. No, we didn't have much TV either. Thank y'all very much. I enjoy being sober. I've had some rough times during my sobriety. I would like to tell you about one situation and one situation only, and that was Jeffrey. Jeffrey was born to one of my daughters when she was 14 years old, out of wedlock. And when she first told me that story, I thought, what in the hell are people going to think about me? To raise a daughter like this. You notice no thought about my daughter or anything. The selfish me. She ended up going to the Felsen Faith Home went to school while she was there, had the baby in November 1970, I think. The doctor came out and said the baby would never live. I said, good. Let him die. We'll bury him, and nobody in Dayton will ever criticize me again. 6 months, they'll forget about it. Jeffrey lived. We had a baby for 18 years, and it turned out to be one of the best things that has ever happened to our family. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Leroy. Now please help me welcome Humberto C. from Cranston, Rhode Island, 41 plus years.
Hi, everybody. My name is Humberto, and I'm an alcoholic. I am so glad, and I want to say thank you to my high power, to this community, to my 11 sponsors that I had when I started this program. And believe me, I never thought to be here with you. I'm supposed to be dead. but I guess God had another plan for me. And that's why I am here tonight. My date of sober started in January 21st, 1969. I was 24 years old when I started. Rolando is a friend of mine. In that time, he was my partner. He is here tonight because he had the same time that I have in this program. I want to say thank you to Rolando, because he told me about AA. I was thinking to jump in a bridge in my country, Guatemala, because I don't know nothing about AA. In that time, for me, it was the end. So he told me about AA, and he says to me, I have a cousin. He has 2 years in AA. He have a lot of money. He have a brand new car. He have a nice wife. And you will see. And I told him, what we are waiting for. Let's go. I don't got a lot of money, but I am rich, believe me, because I have you, all you. Hard to believe. When I was drinking, I have afraid to cross one street. I just live in my song where everybody knows me. Today, believe me, I went to Egypt, Israel. I can mention work in other countries. Just thanks to AA. Because if I were drunk or stay drunk, believe me, I told you, maybe I am dead. But now I am alive and I don't want to die anyways. I want to still alive. And I have a lot of things to say, but my English is too poor, you know. But one more minute. Now I am married again. My wife is here, 33 years living with her. We have 5 girls, children. I have 12 grandchildren, and I am very happy. I don't know. This is my place. You are my family. And I ask God to keep me alive and give me the strength for to stay in AA. I want to say only for the end, my own group in Rhode Island is Un Nuevo Despertar. We are a few Spanish guys over there, but believe me, we're trying to do everything that is in our hand for to keep sober and to help another people to reach that than we got now. Thank you very much, and good night.
Thank you, Roberto. And now let's hear from Ruth J., Las Vegas, Nevada. 40 years, Ruth.
Hi, everybody. I'm Ruth J. I'm an alcoholic. And I'm a member of the Second Edition group in Las Vegas, Nevada. And I sobered up in Las Vegas, Nevada, so it can be done. I was a sick, sorry home drinker. I come from a 100% alcoholic family, but they did not pour booze down my throat. I did. So I can't blame it on my family. And I was an absentee mother, and until I went many years with no problems, and then I crossed that line. And I spent a lot of time trying to get back on the other side, and you can't do it. You know, we start out as cucumbers, and when we become pickles, you can't become a cucumber again. My moment came when I was invited out of my home and my job at the same time, and that got my attention. And my husband didn't care where I went, and I'm sure my employer didn't either. And so I had to look at myself. And I was not happy about it. I was not pleased to come into your presence. I didn't want any of your love and attention. After about 2 weeks of being mad, I decided maybe I should start listening. And I found that they suggested I might want to follow directions, that I hadn't done too well so far. And so I took their suggestion, I followed some directions, and amazingly it worked. And so I continued to follow directions, and they told me early in my sobriety date is June 26, 1970, I have 40 years and 1 week. They suggested if I was grateful for my sobriety, that I owed Alcoholics Anonymous 2 things. And one was a little money in the basket, if I could afford it, but that wasn't mandatory. And the other was a little time to pay back for my sobriety, if I was grateful. And that one was mandatory. And it didn't matter whether it was washing coffee cups, which we did back then, cleaning ashtrays, setting up chairs, mopping floors, just doing something to give back. And so I have tried to do that. And if you have tried to do that, and I know many of you have, you find that you feel better for doing it, no matter what it does to the coffee cups, ashtrays, or floors, that it gives you a good feeling to be able to do that. I have been incredibly lucky just through service and trying to be of assistance to others. I have many friends in Alcoholics Anonymous, U.S., Canada, many in the 40s and over, many on the other side here, and I certainly didn't plan 40 years ago to be right here. The doesn't matter what kind of service you do or what kind of time commitment you can have. Just give a little bit of yourself so that our Alcoholics Anonymous is in the same shape when the next generation needs it as it was for us. And I hope you find a God or a higher power, God as you understand him or God as you don't understand him. It doesn't really matter, as long as you know it isn't you. And I had to realize it wasn't me. And I want you to have some fun with your sobriety. Even though life will go on and it will not always be easy and you will lose people you love, but you need to be able to laugh at yourself more than laughing at others. And sometimes I have trouble with that one. My friend that I'm sitting next to here reminded me with that clicking of the toothpaste that there is very little that any of us control anymore other than ourselves. But there is one thing I like to control, and that's how you hang the toilet paper. I see some of you have the same kind of obsessive-compulsive thing. It's just a small thing. And if I visit your house, you can be assured that your toilet paper will be hung bright when I leave. Now, 40 years ago, I would not have told you a bit about that. That was my own little secret. And I've done it on airplanes, and I've done it lots of places. But mostly I think the secret is you don't drink one day at a time. I try to keep my side of the street clean, and I try to give away what I have been so freely given. And I hope you all do too. Thanks.
Thank you, Ruth. And our last speaker for the evening is Larry P. from Shreveport, Louisiana. Please help me welcome him, 45 years.
Hi, I'm Larry, and I'm an alcoholic. Because this program works in my life, I have not had to take a drink since September the 20th of 1964. That is indeed a miracle. I'm an old-timer, and I'm also an Alzheimer. I say that because I never fell down drunk. But since I've been at this convention, I've fallen down twice. There are people in here, men, who have picked me up off the floor. They won't even have one in the street and one at the escalator at the hotel. I don't know why, but I just ended up on the floor. They won't recognize me standing up, but I thank them for being here. I didn't get hurt because it's not the falling that hurts you, it's a landing. And I guess I've learned how to land. When I first came into this program, I was scared to death. I didn't want to be an alcoholic. And I thought that I was the only one, because nobody felt as bad and reacted as bad as I did. I came in September, and in our town we have what we call a tri-state convention, and I bought a ticket for that in October. I wanted you to know I had $5. I wasn't like some of them. I still had a house. I didn't have a wife, but I had a car, and I had a clean shirt. So I just didn't think I was an alcoholic. And I went to this convention, and there were about 1,000 people in there, and I thought, wow. And look at me now. Wow! Double wow. I spent the first 9 months in this program feeling sorry for myself because Larry couldn't drink. And I still felt like hell. I still had the shakes. I had a 9-month hangover, or leftover, I guess. But somebody reminded me that it was an illness and that I didn't get here overnight, so I couldn't get well overnight. So if there's any new people out there who are still struggling, stay with it. It will happen. It will happen. When I began to think positive, I realized one day I had gone through a period of time without even wanting a drink. God had relieved me of that need for alcohol. That too will happen. And from that time on, it began to work, and I began to work in the program. And I worked in the Council on Alcoholism. That gave me a reason to be involved with alcoholics. So in that capacity, I had some public exposure, which was good for me and good for the organization. And they've done a lot of work and a lot of good work in our area. Treatment centers, halfway houses, detoxes. We didn't have any of that when I first came in. But the program works. Stay with it. And you too, if you don't die and don't drink, you'll have 40 years. I'm going to close with saying happy birthday, Alcoholics Anonymous. And happy birthday, America. And then with the words of Tiny Tim, may God bless us, everyone.